There was a time when the fierce and beautiful land of Allegasia was ruled by men astride mighty dragons. To protect and serve was their mission, and for thousands of years the people prospered.
Greetings and well met, travelers. You have found your way to Dragonreel, a magical journey to the realm of fantasy movies.
Welcome to the very first episode of the Dragonreel podcast. My name is Chris, and with me tonight I have Sharon. Introduce yourself, Sharon.
Hi, I am Sharon Dudley. You forgot to say you were Chris Dudley.
I stand corrected.
Yes.
And so, I also have with me Pete. Introduce yourself, Pete.
I'm Pete.
Okay.
I'm Chris's sidekick in many endeavors.
Wow.
Wait a minute. I thought I was his sidekick.
You're his missus. That doesn't count as a sidekick.
Oh, darn.
Well, we are going to talk about the movie Aragorn tonight, and we are going to go all out with the spoilers. So, spoiler warning right ahead. We watched this Aragorn movie so that we could talk about it and possibly not be quite so kind as some of the critics. I expect you guys are going to be more cruel than I am, because there's a difference, and you know, full disclosure, I did not read the book, and both Pete and Sharon did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but before we get started, we're going to get to know all of us. And so I'm going to start out with a question to Sharon.
Yes, sir.
You are the hero of the next epic fantasy film.
Yes.
What is your quest?
My quest is to find out who is trying to kill the queen. And I think I am going to be a spy.
Wow.
Maybe like part spy, part courtesan.
How did I know?
Finola Hughes is going to play me.
Oh, Finola Hughes. Okay, well, that was my next question. Who's going to play you in the movie?
Yes, it's definitely her, because she's so graceful and elegant. So I'm a graceful, elegant spy.
Okay.
With rogue talents.
Rogue talents.
Yes.
Excellent. That sounds like a movie that I am definitely going to see.
Yeah.
Pete, question for you.
Sure.
You are the hero of the next epic fantasy movie. Are you with me so far?
So far, I'm right there.
Okay. What is your quest?
My quest is to eat my own body's weight in the rare ice rhubarb, and then use my newly acquired frost breath to freeze the heart of a demon prince.
That is a hell of a quest. And so, Pete, that sounds like a movie that I can't possibly miss. Who is going to play you in the movie?
I am going to play myself in the movie, Chris. I don't think anyone else is up to the task.
Wow.
Can't help it. What can I say? I call it as I say it.
That is... You're a modest and moderately insane, I believe.
That's true. So, same question to you, Chris. If you are the hero of the next epic adventure, what is your quest?
My quest is to swim to the bottom of the ocean and bring up the most perfect pearl and show it to all of the courtesans in town so that they will all be my lady.
I see. And who's going to play you?
Wait, are you collecting the courtesans?
Or yes, I'm not going to actually give it. It's going to be kind of like an episode of The Bachelor.
Of a harem sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, I think they're all going to try to, you know, earn the pearl, I think.
Ah!
So it's going to the courtesan.
So this is more of a Cinemax epic that would appear sometime after 10 p.m.
I think that's probably, yeah, and probably mostly only in Europe.
Okay, fair enough.
I think you stole my idea.
So who's going to play you in the movie?
I am going to be played by H. John Benjamin.
Oh, there you go. God, what a great voice.
Right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm all about the voice.
Plus the way he says sploosh is just hilarious.
Danger zone! Okay.
Could you say sink me in that film, Chris?
Could I what?
Could you say sink me in
sink
that
me.
Film? Yeah.
Sink me!
Sink me!
I don't know why, but I just love that.
I love it when our friend Jim says that.
Does he say that?
Yes, he does.
Does he indeed? We've never gotten him to say that.
He says it in such a foppish, dandy voice.
We were talking about the Scarlet Pimpernel, and he never said sink me.
Oh my god, I'm blown away. We'll have to call him on that next time.
Yeah. All right, so back to the topic, back to the movie that we saw. We saw Aragon, the film that came out in, what movie did it come out? In 2006. It was a Christmas release, starring Edward Spilliers, and Jeremy Irons was the real star of the movie, as far as I'm concerned.
That's true.
And a host of other people that are normally very good in things.
Dare we say a bevy of actually talented actors?
Right, right.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. It starts with a voiceover. And in the voiceover, it describes how there used to be dragon riders, and they all started fighting against each other, and then one of them brought order and peace to the dragon riders.
In much the same way our dear friend Darth Vader brought order and peace to the Force.
Right.
Yes. And
Sharon said, but, you know, so you guys have read the book. Tell me what that voiceover really was talking about.
The prologue.
Right.
Of the book, which is, in fact, Galbatorix's his betrayal of the Dragon Riders, and the way that he got them to turn against each other, and then the ones who were supposedly his allies, he just took them out one by one.
So as far as I am hearing the voiceover, not having read the book, it doesn't really make him sound like that bad a guy.
Oh, no. No,
no. In the book, he is... a very bad dude.
Very. Right. Well, I believe you because he is bald, first of all.
And he's prone to monologuing, so that's
and he does nothing at all in the world except sit on his throne and stare at a map.
Well,
that's not true because he also slaps his lackey around.
But in front of the map, he can see the map while he's doing it.
That's true.
I think the fact that John Malkovich is playing him makes him pretty creepy.
Right.
First place.
So, So
I would agree with you had it not been for the fact that he was calling in that performance.
I think he ran up his cell phone minutes over the limit by phoning that performance in.
Completely and utterly.
Harsh. I mean,
no, you got to realize that I love John Malkovich, and if you give him a chance to either be quiet and creepy, intensely creepy. If you give him a chance to chew the set, a lot of fun watching him chew the set.
Absolutely.
He's nowhere in either one of those extremes in this performance.
Yep, he could have monologued to Durza. He could have said, "I attempted to stop them from stealing the egg, but it was beyond my control. I attempted to chase down the boy, but it was beyond my control.
Oh my God.
It was quite beyond my control."
Okay, well, I guess I have to tell you, whenever
that's my John Malkovich impression.
Whenever I just hear him for a moment, I get chills. So I still.
He's a creepy dude.
Got chills listening to his voice.
He is a creepy dude, but it sounded more like he was talking to his banker.
Did you ever, or he's talking to his agent, how long do I have to do this movie?
Exactly.
I only need to have 10 minutes screen time? Done. But did you ever see, there was a kung fu movie wherein it opens with the head of the secret police tracking down a leader in this rebel group. And he says, the guy says, "What brings you here?" And the head of the secret police says, "I've been sent by my master. He has bad dreams." And that whole opening scene where Galbatorix is telling Durzan how he's affrighted that he's lost his egg reminded me of that. And it's like, so he's having trouble sleeping? All right, you know, maybe warm milk and counting sheep. Maybe a nice lullaby. Massage is good.
Massage.
You know, a little exercise goes a long way.
Goes a long way.
So wait, we were summarizing the story. So a young boy finds a rock and then becomes, and then the rock turns into a dragon. And the young boy and the dragon bond with each other.
Yes. And the boy becomes the last dragon rider.
Right, the last first dragon rider, I think. And
the first of the last dragon riders.
He's going to give the people hope from the terrible despot.
So we see this woman running away from bad people with this egg.
Happen in the book, just to let you know.
Sorry?
Did happen in the book.
Yeah, exactly in the book.
That was pretty much the same, Chris.
Okay, but you guys kept telling me that she was an elf, and there was nothing in the
movie. She is an elf.
No, she is an elf.
No, she is an elf.
No, she's not.
That's why when she says she's from Elsmira, it's a big deal, because that's where the elves are.
Not in the movie.
Exactly. There's a whole lot in the book that just ain't in the movie.
Yeah. So she is not... I mean, they didn't even make her look remotely not human.
So were her ears not pointed?
No, they were not.
Not pointed. Oh. She was of average height.
Really? She's supposed to be extremely gorgeous, too.
She was pretty.
Sienna Del Rey is pretty nice. Okay. But I wouldn't say she is the drop-dead Arya of the book.
We have to mention that I'm blind, because otherwise the comments that I make won't make any sense whatsoever!
You know, I did give you the chance to introduce yourself.
Oh. Well, they just heard me say it, so now they know.
Okay.
Now we all know. Wait a second, you're blind? Oh my God.
That explains a lot, doesn't it?
This suddenly answers so many questions.
Now, in a movie, somebody would suddenly, you know, heal me, and it would just be a temporary thing.
Fantasy movie.
But back to the movie.
Yes.
Stay on target.
So he overnight, not even overnight, like he helps his dragon learn to fly. The dragon flies up in the air, goes through a lightning cloud.
But we get the idea that raising the dragon took a couple days.
Okay, a couple days.
It took him a couple days before it got big enough for him to help it fly up in the air, and then flashy dragon maturation sequence is flashy.
Yeah. Was that part of the book? Did it just like instantly become like as big as an elephant?
No.
Okay.
No, in the book it was a month's long process.
But also, he did go from that little tiny size when he hatched from the egg. He did develop.
She. Safira. She.
Did I say he?
Yep.
Yes, you did.
I meant she. Sorry. I meant she. I know she's a girl. When she started eating. Remember Pete from the book? She was in the forest, and she did, like, he was surprised when he'd go back to the forest the next day and see her, and she would be larger.
Right, but it's still to the point where she started to get to the size where he could help her kind of start to fly. That took a while. That was a long time in coming.
Yeah.
You know, and there were people, and there were strange, you know, the soldiers had come through, and Rarin had left, and then strange folks were coming into the village.
Right. Well,
and,
you know,
all this
of course,
stuff was going on, and
they had to speed it up. So that part didn't bother me so much.
You know what bothered me about speeding it up so much? Was the fact that it took an hour of the movie to display that Brahm is another dragon rider.
Yeah.
Okay, as someone who did not read the book, that part didn't really bother me. I mean, it was kind of a slow start, but I mean, I really wanted more characterization and development before they, you know, went through the steps that they had to go through.
Brahm was not so angry in the book.
He's cantankerous.
He's also friendly and a storyteller.
Yes.
And he knew Aragorn.
Yes.
And they were friends. And I don't think he would have been so angry if Aragorn was in his house, like they showed in the movie. I think he would have been like, oh, Aragorn, dude. You know?
Who breaks into somebody's house to read a book?
I just want to know who just breaks into somebody's house like that.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Because we don't see that established in the village at all. You know, people seem to be fairly courteous to one another.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway... girl rides into the forest carrying a rock, uses spell to transport rock into Aragorn's vicinity. Aragorn brings rock home, rock turns into egg, egg becomes dragon.
Right. And so then Aragorn figure... And also another disclosure. Up until the moment I saw this movie, I thought Aragorn was the name of the dragon.
No, because that would be lame to having to drop the...
Because it's one letter.
One letter.
Yeah.
And the boy's name was Cragen.
The boy's name was Coy, and the man's name was Nan.
Lan.
Yeah. So anyway, he hooks up with Brahm, and they decide that they have to go speak to the Varden. The Varden are these rebels that live in the far corner of the realm.
Yes.
Yes, who don't actually show up until the second book.
Okay.
Well, he gets there in the first book.
Oh, right, okay.
Before they go to the elves.
You're right.
Thank you.
I forgot about that.
I just read it this summer, so I'm pretty...
Yeah, so it's been 13 years since I've read it, so...
Oh, my God. Wow, baby. Okay, so, I forgive you. It's okay. Whoa.
All right, so he starts going toward the Varden and tells Brahm that he can fight with a sword better than anyone because he's used a stick.
And Brahm schools him.
Yeah, and Brom pretty much schools him. And that would have been a good place for a training montage, but they did not go with a training montage.
They really didn't. And the interesting thing about that is, in the book, it's a long training session. Uh-huh. Brom is very careful about teaching him how to use magic. He's very careful about teaching him how to use weapons except for a bow and arrow, with which he's already proficient, you know.
He's a hunter.
Yep. Aragorn and Saphira have a telepathic connection, which is in the book. And for some reason in the movie, every once in a while, Brom can hear Saphira's thoughts.
Okay.
He could in the book. Because he was a dragon rider.
Right.
I didn't remember that part at all.
Yeah, he could. Now, you also know who Brom is, too, right, Pete?
Hmm?
That Brom is his father.
I thought Galbatorix was his father, which is why the mother ran away.
No, Brom is his father, because Brom had an affair with his mother, and that's why the mother left him.
Pronoun trouble.
No. The thing is that I'm fairly certain that Galbatorix is his dad, because Murtagh is Brom's son.
Wikipedia says that Brom is revealed to be Aragorn's father.
Okay, fair enough.
Spoiler.
Thanks.
It's on Wikipedia.
But it was my understanding that Murtagh was Brom's son.
He's his half-brother. Their mother is the same.
Okay.
So
Murtagh is Galbatorix's son?
No, he was his, like, lieutenant's son.
Okay.
The one that Brom killed.
Ah, yes. Right. Yes. Marzan.
Yes.
Marzipan.
Yes. Marzan, yes.
Marzipan. Oh, my God.
All right. So, speaking of which, I've got words about him later on.
Marzan or Murtagh?
Murtagh.
Okay.
He sounded like a cutie to me.
He looked a bit like John Stamos.
He's a good-looking kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they go to sort of a shithole swamp town where they meet a person who talks about herself as if she's not in the room.
The old third-person trick.
Yes. Well, what was her name? Angela?
I think so.
Angela's awesome in the book. Just
really? Because she sucks in the movie.
Yeah.
And she's not as young.
Oh, yeah.
In the book.
Supposed to be blind?
No.
No.
Okay. Because her eyes clouded over, and I wondered if that was supposed to suggest that she was blind.
No,
I think that was suggesting she was seeing.
Oh, okay. Because that would be another thing about if anytime there's a blind person in a fantasy movie, they can see the future, or they're a kick-ass martial artist.
Interesting, because if you ever watch Captain Curtis Vampire Hunter, there's a blind woman in a bar.
Uh-huh.
Who's just a blind woman at a bar.
That's awesome.
That would be awesome to see.
Which is fantastic. And she's just kind of sitting there. She's just kind of sitting there having a drink. The ruffians come in. She finishes her drink and very calmly makes her way to the door and leaves just before Captain Kronos. And Kronos waits for her to leave before he whips out the swords and kills the ruffians. Which is one of the best parts.
Very gentlemanly of him.
he's very much the gentleman.
So they basically wink about that trope.
Yes.
Okay.
But she's, like I said, she's just a blind woman in the bar having a drink.
Nice.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah. So Angela is, I have this note, Angela is kind of terrible and so is Murtagh.
Yes.
In parentheses, I wrote John Stamos.
Fair enough. Yes, both Murtagh and...
in that first shot, he looks just like John Stamos.
Because I don't know why... First off, I appreciate that there are some singers out there who want to get into acting.
Oh, is he a singer?
No. Joss Stonis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who plays Angela. And while I respect that there's a desire to do so, not everybody has the chops or the training.
Yeah.
To do it, and so that the case being, don't act.
Mm-hmm.
Stick to what you're good at.
Her companion wasn't in the movie, and
right.
I would have liked to see, I can't think of how to pronounce the cat's name, the werecat's name.
Yeah.
Salimbum?
Salimbum, yeah. Salimbum. Salimbum.
Because I don't hear
Manfredson Jensen.
Yes.
But... He was kind of an awesome character, so it was a shame that he was left out of the movie.
To be fair, it's a weighty, weighty work. It's a thick book. And you can't fit everything you'd want to into like a 2-hour movie.
Right.
But the four people who adapted this to an hour and 40 minutes, just awful. Mm-hmm. Not a good job. I mean, get the three people who adapted Loader, you know?
Yeah. I thought it was okay not having read the book. The story I thought was okay. But well, let's... So I've got this note about these Urgles, who none of them had any lines. But they didn't really look non-human other than their eyes were red sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in the book they were more not human?
Well, they're humanoids.
Okay.
Yes, but they're big and loudish. They're more like trolls than...
Okay. And they work in an evil smithy.
Some of them do. Some of them work in an evil farm. Some of them are evil leather workers. You know, it all depends on the evil realm they're working in.
Now you're calling the question of, are they evil? Or are they just trying to make their way in the world?
Right.
Well, clearly they're evil because they work in an evil thing. They had the choice not to work in an evil area. They could have worked for the Varden and been, you know, obnoxious but good.
Well, they do portray them a little bit differently in a later book. But I don't know if we're going into later books, because this movie only really...
There will never be more.
Encompasses the first book.
Oh my god.
This was not exactly a flop. I mean, the final tally on Wikipedia lists it at $2.5 million, which is more than twice its budget, which means it is not a flop.
Okay, on IMDb?
Yeah.
It didn't make that much.
Well, this counts overseas and DVD sales. Oh, no, that's box office only. Box office only, sorry. But this does count overseas.
Okay, so that's probably what allowed it to...
I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was terrible.
Oh, no, it's bad.
Well, that's good. So we'll have a debate about...
There was a point at which it started to become worse. And that was when... Aragorn had the dream.
It's a spear in the chest.
Before that, yeah. I mean, when he goes that way, yeah.
When he had the dream about Arya?
Yeah. That is the point at which the movie takes a sharp downward turn.
And it takes the left turn to Poopsville, and it never varies from there on in.
Yeah. I think by that time, I had counted 4 overt Star Wars references.
Here, here.
One of them was when he was sitting there looking at the sunset after his cousin walked away. And I'm like, exactly. This, I said, all this shot is missing is a second sun.
Mm-hmm.
And when the promotion of Admiral Piet.
Yes.
Among the Urgles.
Well,
I mean, it was the same exact line. You are in command now.
Pete, what did you think? Because, you know, I couldn't see the shot. So did you think it was Star Wars-esque?
Oh my God! Yes, I even said to Chris while we were discussing this originally. I said to Chris, "Oh, I just realized this is Star Wars with dragons instead of lightsabers."
Yep.
Because a lot of it is just straight up Star Wars. Braum being Obi-Wan, you know. Saphira being
with
lightsaber.
The Obi-Wan death.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. I was a bit disappointed. And again, that's a matter of adaptation. That's not a matter of the book. The book has a completely different feel to it.
Really?
But it's the way that they adapted the movie.
Well, at that point where the movie takes a downward turn, Aragorn decides he has to go exactly the opposite way they've been going and then the same distance again.
Well, because he falls in love with Arya. Just
why?
From his dream.
That doesn't really come across, and part of that is because Ed Spillier's is about as wooden an actor as you can hope for. It's like he went to the Keanu Reeves school of acting. And the other thing is that you see Arya so infrequently that for him to, quote-unquote, fall in love after one viewing is a little far-fetched, especially since he's on the run for his life.
Remember in Star Wars when...
Who is she? She's beautiful.
He falls in love with...
But you see, that isn't what ropes him in. What ropes him in is the fact that R2 takes off.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay? It's not the fact that she's beautiful. It's the fact that he gets roped in by R2 having taken off and he doesn't want to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So he tracks him down, Sand People, Obi-Wan, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So anyway, he takes Saphira, he takes his dragon, and goes all the way across the countryside, and yet Braum is able to follow him on a horse and get there hours later.
Yes.
Not
he's also able to make Aragorn's horse appear and disappear at will, apparently.
I didn't notice that. But that's
oh, good. My God.
Did he have Aragorn's horse with him?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Okay, I will agree with you guys that the traveling was unrealistic. Yeah. So
it wasn't just that. There were a lot of things. Production value-wise, this was a very strong movie. It was gorgeous. They had a lot of good things going for it. There were a couple matte problems, a couple continuity problems, but those are forgivable. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, the story becomes so weak after the establishing part of it because they're rushing so quickly to try to bring it to a conclusion. If they'd given themselves another half an hour, probably would have been a stronger film.
Well, it's interesting because you were saying that they took too long to do the intro.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that if they had cut back, if they wanted to keep it, if they were solid at an hour and, or in a, yeah, an hour and 44 minutes, cut back on the first hour. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to establish it up to the point where the big reveal is, Bram's the Dragon Rider. You know, and he's been teaching you all this stuff, and now he's going to teach you magic and train you in the ways of swordplay and blah, 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 blah. Then give me another half an hour of what else is going on.
Sharon, did that move too slow and then too fast for you?
I think I would have liked it better if the movie was a little bit longer and if I could have seen some of the relationship building between Bram and Aragorn. Like, I think, in fact, when we were talking about this, I told you that it should have had the montage sequence because...
Oh, no, it should have totally had a training montage. So yeah. That would have helped bring it together.
And Aragorn learning magic, which I think the only scene that they showed him learning magic is where Bram lights a fire and right. then he teaches him the word Brisinger.
No, he doesn't teach him. He overhears it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But then they talk about it. And he says, you need to know the words for things. And he goes, well, what's tree? And what's branch? And
right, that's after he blows up the swamp town.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Because Bram tells him that, you know, magic can kill you if you don't use it correctly. And mm-hmm. right. I like that concept, both from the book and then the movie left that in. Which
was cool, but it didn't fully... The other thing that I felt kind of cheated on was the depth of information about a shade.
Yes.
You know, because in the book, you get to understand what tough what customers' shades are
yeah,
and why they wield magic so freely.
Without reading the book, mm-hmm. you didn't understand what a shade was.
A shade, to me, sounds like somebody who's dead, but they said, no, it's a guy who's possessed by a demon.
Kind of?
That doesn't sound like a shade, really.
Kind of?
Sort of.
Yeah, kind of. It's that they're...
All I have to go on is the movie, so that's what they said.
They're dark sorcerers who have traded part of their souls for part of a demon's soul.
Okay.
Good explanation, Pete.
And they that's what allows them to wield magic so freely because it's not going to kill them because demons have these incredible life forces. Mm. So that's why Dirza can cast spells without blinking, whereas Aragorn feels it every time that he has to cast anything larger than like a small fire spell. Mm.
Okay, I want to read you guys my notes. After Bram died, or after they went to fight, and Bram saved everybody by jumping in front of a spear?
Yes.
I said, the ceiling collapses, killing everyone. Malkovich still phoning.
You are so harsh. Oh, my goodness. Whoa.
And... I was kind of sad to see Jeremy Irons go because he was actually, I mean, he was showing up to work.
And
he was Bram.
I believed he was Bram too, but that doesn't make a movie. Robert Carlyle, who plays Dirza, is so good at being bad. He's a great villain. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even have to necessarily be like an evil, evil dude. Like in Stargate Universe, he just was driven by different motivations, and that's what happened to make him the bad guy. Mm-hmm. You know? But he does it so well in the right situation that you sit there and go, wow, I love to hate him.
And I think you're saying this is not the right situation.
And this is not the right situation. He just, and a lot of it was that a lot of the guys didn't have a lot to work with. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's kind of the disappointment here, because there was such a wealth of stuff in the book that they could have adapted into it.
I suggest that people read the books because
you're here.
They're really excellent fantasy books. And if you really want to, you know, be able to compare the movie to the book, I mean, you can't do it once you read it. Mm-hmm. So right. I even advise you to read the book.
Yeah, I advise everybody to read the book. So what happens is, Aragorn, while he's trying to run away, has a dream about Arya. They decide they're going to go back to the capital where the evil king is in residence, along with all of his army and his evil sorcerer.
Yep.
And Aragorn's going to save Arya, in spite of the fact that he's only apparently been training magic for like a day and a half, and he hasn't fully bonded with his dragon, and his sword fighting skills are a little bit better than that Star Wars kid.
Than a farmer.
Well, I mean, a day and a half is about how long Luke was training.
Yeah.
Han and Leia didn't even change clothes.
That's true. You got a point there. But then again, nobody changes clothes in that movie.
That's true. So, yeah, so they go there, they get Arya out, and kill... Oh, no, they don't kill anybody.
They
kill Durza.
They dispel Durza.
Ah, okay.
Because the only way to kill a Shade is to shoot him through the heart.
Okay. And so then they get out.
They did say that in the movie as well.
Yes.
And I thought we have to give them points for that because they did explain it. They said, well, did you stab him through the heart?
They also didn't explain that. Didn't Durza keep his heart outside of his body? Or am I thinking something else?
I think you're thinking of something else.
Okay.
I
thought either Albatorix or Durza kept their heart outside their body.
That's the dragon that you're thinking of, yeah.
Oh, okay, yes. You're right. You're right. It's come back to me. I'm thinking of Eldest. I'm not thinking of Aragorn.
Yeah. He does kill
Eldest and Brisinger.
By dropping that huge dwarven stone.
Yes. I love that part. Anyway.
No. So not Durza, just the dragon. Yes, Durza's heart was in the right place.
Durza's heart was in the right place, which made it the best target.
Indeed.
Yes.
So they get out of there and they make it to the Varden. Who have been waiting all this time for a white hero.
For a white blonde hero.
Right? I mean, there's a little bit of subtext there we really don't want to get into.
No.
Because it's yet another, you know, this happened in Avatar and Dances with Wolves.
Well, you know, I think had they made the head of the Varden not Jimon Hansu, it would have been a different matter altogether.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a blind person, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just saying.
Jimon Hansu, who's the head of the Varden in the movie...
Yes.
Is a very black man.
Okay.
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 Ed Spilliers is a very, very white young man. He's essentially Luke Skywalker. He's a blonde Twinkie from a farm in the middle of nowhere who gets a magic sword and goes on a quest and saves a princess.
Yeah.
So we summarize the movie.
Then they fight and the Varden make a suit of armor for Saphira, which changes when she puts it on.
Because,
changed?
You know, movie.
Did it?
they showed the helmet, and it had, like, eye holes, and it, like, covered the whole forehead and nose and snout. But when she put it on, it was just, like, something that, like, came down above her eyes, and that was it.
You know the reason why I think they did that?
No.
Because the barding on the dragon at the very beginning during the voiceover, he's wearing that helmet.
Okay, so you're saying they already had the model?
Yeah, so they used that. So they used that in the exposition part, and then when it actually came time, they're like, "We don't want to confuse people by thinking that Saphira has been there the whole time, so we'll make it so that you can see her face."
Okay.
Whoa.
So.
Okay.
All right. It was just a little nitpick that I saw, and I went, whatever."
Like I said, there are a lot of continuity flaws in this thing.
Yeah.
Did you see the mountains that didn't keep up with the tracking?
Yes! Yes, I did. I commented on that.
He did. He commented to me.
Oh, my God. Okay. Anyway, again, forgave that. Because overall, it's a beautiful film.
Yes.
It's very pretty.
Yes, there's some very good landscapes in it.
Yes.
So then they fight, and Aragorn manages to kill Durza, and then the entire army disappears. Or at least we don't hear anything else about it, because...
Well, the Varden won.
Yeah.
Just to let you know.
So then,
the other thing I wanted to bring up about that was Murtagh looks back and sees the Urgals coming.
Yeah.
Before he dives into the water, and yet the Urgals get the drop on the Varden warders.
Yeah.
Thank God you killed them, because otherwise I would have fired them.
Murtagh does a bunch of dumb things. So, okay, so they fight, and then Aragorn loses consciousness because he was wounded?
Yes.
He was
No, he wasn't wounded. Saphira was wounded, and he did his was Heil.
Right, and he tried to save her and exhausted himself. So then he wakes up, and Murtaugh's sitting there, and Murtaugh's looking all grim. He's like, yeah, well, not everybody made it. And he's like, Saphira? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to say goodbye. And then she shows up, and he's like, but you don't have to. I'm like, dick, move! That was such a dick move.
Okay,
Murtaugh's a jerk.
Chris, can I also tell you something?
Yes.
Okay.
Murtaugh's thick in the book, too.
Murtaugh was actually stolen by the Urgles at that point in the book.
Okay.
So during that war, he was actually taken, and everybody thinks he's dead. So when I was watching the movie, I'm like, wait a minute. Why is he still here? He was taken, and this is going to change the next. Like, if they were planning on another movie, it didn't really make sense to me, because that's actually who Aragorn lost.
Yeah, it was Murtaugh.
Yes. Mm,
okay.
Yeah.
The other thing that kind of throws me is that at the end of this movie, Aragorn goes off to train the Varden? In what?
Dragon talking?
Riding? Exactly. In dance, and how to fight with sticks, and how to shoot a bow and arrow. Oh, wait, they already know how to do that. We saw that in the really exciting climactic fight scene.
Yeah, fight scene was a little...
So I think we did a pretty good job of spoiling it for anybody
who
see it.
Well, we gave them the spoiler alert, so...
We did. So I think we definitely summarized the heck out of that movie.
So when I heard the credits and it was an Avril Lavigne song, I went, oh, that's who this movie's for.
It's for young teeny boppers.
Right. It's for
Question, though, and this is the part that really kind of throws me, is why did they have Aragorn fly away, Arya head off to Elsmira, and it cut away to what looked like a griffin breathing fire, and then and then it shows Galbatorix, and he grabs onto his sword and he goes, yeah, and destroys the map that he's loved so much so far.
Right.
Just and to expose that there's a dragon behind it. Who apparently breathes fire on him.
If I was a dragon and I had my face real close to that map, it's like, what is that dragon thinking through the whole movie? It's like, can I come out yet? Nope, he's just walking by. No, he's going back to the throne.
When do I get to burn the map?
Can I come out yet?
And actually, you don't find out that the dragon is behind that until the very last book. In fact, pretty late in the book is when you find that out. So they kind of jumped ahead.
Well, they kind of tease you that the dragon's around somewhere, mm-hmm. because Galbatorix is still a full dragon rider.
Right, he'd have to be somewhere.
But you just never get to see where his dragon is, and then you find out that it's hiding behind the map the whole time.
Right.
And doing what? Just kind of like getting really bored?
I think for the most part what he does is when Galbatorix split the map, you may have seen the tic-tac-toes on the back of it.
On the back of the map. Hash marks.
I wasn't doing anything. I better refire. Roar!
Well, but I mean, it was like
the way he cuts the map and then the dragon breathes fire, it's like, did he just torch Galbatorix?
Yeah.
Isn't that a bad idea? Is it when the rider dies, the dragon dies?
All right, so we're going to... Yeah, so that is the summary of the movie. So what were... Sharon, what did you like about the movie? This is a hard question, isn't it?
No, I mean, I think as we were going through it, I don't think I'm as negative about things. I mean, you know... I love fantasy movies. That's why I'm talking to you about fantasy movies. So I guess I like the world. I like the characters in the world. There are things that I thought could have been done better.
Save the could be done better for my next go round, because that's my next question.
Okay. I liked the world a lot. I liked the... I like the story of the, as you pointed out, like, I like the story of the young boy coming into his own. And
it's the hero's journey.
Yep. I love the hero's journey. I love that. I love that Sophia and Eric bonded. Like, you know, he tells her, you know, get lost when the uncle dies. And he says, get out of here. And, like, a tear almost came to my eye. I'm like, oh, I thought that was realistic. Like, he's just so angry because he feels responsible for his uncle dying. And that part I liked. I thought they did a good job there.
Okay.
And I liked sort of the exchanges between Sophia and Aragorn.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I liked that a lot.
Pete, say something good.
Something good?
Yes. What did you like about the movie?
I liked the fact that Rohan didn't die. No.
Okay.
I liked Jeremy Irons as Brom.
Right.
I liked Alan Armstrong, who played Uncle Garrow.
Oh, okay.
Alan Armstrong is in a lot of fantasy movies.
Yeah, he just looks like that kind of guy.
The one that he's probably most famous for is Krull, and he's the head of a bandit. Yes. He's the head of a bandit team, which is comprised of all people, Liam Neeson and several others.
And Hagrid. Hagrid's in that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane. Yep. But yeah, so Alan Armstrong is just a wonderful actor anytime you see him, especially in a fantasy setting. I liked the fact that they had Rachel Weisz as Sephira.
Loved her voice. Loved it.
Oh yeah, no, she's got a gorgeous voice. Mm-hmm. And I liked the overall production values. I liked the CGI with the dragon. I liked how the dragon looked. I liked the fact that the dragon had feathers for its wings. Mm-hmm. I liked the sword, Morzan's sword.
Okay.
How about the costumes? What did you think of the costumes?
They were okay. I liked Brom's costume best.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I didn't care for the Varden. I didn't care for Galbatorix's army. I liked Durza's tattoos, the binding tattoos. But other than that, meh.
Okay.
So,
As for me, I thought the movie was not horrible to sit through. I mean, I thought it was just the right length. I thought the pacing was pretty good.
That was another part. That was good. It wasn't longer than an hour and 40 minutes.
I thought they ended it at the right point. And yeah, I mean, there were things in there that were very, very good to look at. The costuming, as you know, the armor that Aragorn had at the end, I really didn't. But oh, we'll get to that. So I thought it was okay, and especially considering it's aimed at, you know, young teen viewers, I thought it did the job fairly well. And you know, those young teen viewers, a lot of them haven't seen Star Wars.
It's true, but at the same time, I feel like you're doing a disrespect to young teen viewers. Mm. Honestly, I mean, considering the wealth of really decent literature and the movies that are out there, and then you end up with stuff like Twilight and this movie, it's kind of like getting kicked in the head a few times. It's like, you know what? We really don't think much of you here. Kick, kick. It's kind of like when they start putting out sequels to a really good first sci-fi or fantasy movie or horror movie, even. Uh-huh. You know, and they're just ramming it down your throat. It's like, oh, you ate that, here, eat some more.
Okay. All right, Sharon, what did you think they could have done better? What were some of the opportunities they missed?
Well, I think we definitely touched on it earlier. I would have liked to see the development of his fighting skills and his magic skills. And somehow I would have liked to see a deeper connection between him and Arya. And the connection, even in the books, it was definitely always deeper on his side. Mm-hmm. He was just totally enamored of her. Or you could say he loved her. I mean,
when he does meet her, she gets very distant. She gets very regal on him, you know, plays the aristocracy on him.
Yes, that is true. So I guess I would have liked to see more of his longing, a little more soulfulness, a little more angel, if you know what I mean.
I'm not sure I do, but okay.
She's talking about David Boreanaz in this game.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
You know, soulful, like I love her, but I can't have her because if I have relations with her, If I
yeah, but Angel's your bar for that?
I'm just saying
he's kind of go to.
Chris,
he's
come on, he's pretty damn soulful.
Sharon,
Spike says it.
Sharon,
what? Mm-hmm.
Angel's lame. His hair sticks straight up. Plus, he's bloody stupid.
Hey.
Just going with what I heard.
He's quoting Spike.
No, I'm quoting the Buffy bot.
Oh my god.
All right, so Pete, missed opportunities.
Missed opportunities should have made this one movie into two.
Okay.
If they had spent so long on that first hour build, then the next hour build should have been what Sharon said, the actual training that leads up to the rescue attempt.
Okay.
And then the second movie would have taken it the rest of the way. Or make a longer movie. Mm-hmm. Shorten the getting to know you part at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Throw in a couple of montages, and then extend it out so that we get a greater, again, depth of relationship between Aragorn and Brahm, and Aragorn and Arya, mm-hmm. And Aragorn and Murtagh. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, get a better actor than Ed Spaliers. Mm-hmm. And that's it for me.
Okay. I personally thought I would have liked to have seen more of what made rule under Galbatorix so bad, because it seemed like everybody was kind of doing okay. Yeah, the guards were dicks, and they drafted every boy over 18, but, you know, at least they wait until they're 18, and, you know, with an army that's got to be big enough by now, you know the country's pretty safe.
From whom, though?
And the trains run on time.
From whom?
From those pesky Varden, I guess.
Uh-huh, okay.
But anyway, they didn't really get across to me what was so bad about this guy.
Well, I think that might have been the director and the producer's intention, because in book four, Galbatorix actually is torturing the leader of the Varden, and
that doesn't make him a bad person. Oh, wait, no, that does make him a bad
person.
Well,
and he's saying, you know, really, am I that bad, in his sultry voice? You know, he has a very, they tell you that he has a very sultry voice, and I think that's why John Malkovich was a great pick for him.
If only they had given him more screen time in the decent script, that would have been...
Right, they should have. Oh, that was a missed opportunity, Chris. I should have said
that. Definitely.
They could have done a lot more with the fact that John Malkovich was playing him. I mean, I would have liked to maybe see him torturing somebody. That would have been cool.
I think the biggest problem that we get from this movie, the reason why Galbatorix is so bad, is because he never leaves his throne room. He's a lame duck king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All he does is sit on his throne all day looking at the map.
They could have done a lot more with that. And and in fact, I think in the books he is torturing people, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
It's been a while, but I don't remember him torturing people until the later books.
Or maybe they
actually,
just...
You know what? I didn't read Immortal. I only read it through to Brisinger, so...
Oh.
So...
There you go.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are some real moral questions in the last one, like, you know, why don't you join with me? And there are moments when our heroes do think about it. I mean, ultimately they say no, but they do think about it. So...
All right. Sharon.
Yes.
I want you to do something for me. We're gonna close up our discussion by retelling the story in three sentences or less. Sharon,
yes.
retell this story from the point of view of a different character.
Sophira's point of view, then.
Okay, go.
Wow, I really like this human. He's going to be my rider, and we're gonna have some adventures and. Wow, he really can't fight. Oh, but wait, now he can. And, he likes this elven girl. That's not going to work. And we're going to fight a war together, and I am going to tear it up.
Until I get grievously wounded.
All right. Pete?
Yes.
Tell me who you want to retell this story from the point of view of.
I'm going to retell the story from the point of view of Auroran. The elder brother.
This is a short story.
I leave town. I hear later that the town has been burned to the ground and my dad died. I can't find my cousin anywhere. I hear rumors about things going on in the capital. I hear rumors about things that are going on far at this far into the realm. And somebody supposedly saw a dragon.
All right. You're extrapolating. My retelling of this story would be from the point of view of the Urgal second in command. Oh, what are we gonna do today? Time to make some more swords. Oh, hey, we get to go rough up a caravan. We get to knock the wagons over. I like this part. Oh, that boss is so nasty. Oh, someday I'm gonna be in charge. We didn't get the guy. We're gonna go back to the boss. My captain is going to have to explain this. I'm glad it's not me. Oh, next time it is me. I'm going to disappear for the rest of the movie.
I'm going to
because
fall dead.
Because he killed his boss, right?
Yes.
Whoa. I'm going to fall dead at the end of the movie.
That was the last time you saw the Urgals? Well, up close. You saw, like, massive amounts of them.
I'm fairly certain you see Urgal 2 take a dive in the war with the Varden.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not notice him that time, so I guess I'd have to revise my story. I'm dead. Okay.
Yes. Out of 5 gold pieces, how much would you rate this movie?
Out of 5 gold pieces, I would say 3.
And you're wrong. Chris.
You're so mean for a pirate.
I will give this movie, if I am 12, I am giving this movie 4.5 gold pieces. But I am not 12, so I am giving this movie 2.5 gold pieces.
Which is the correct answer. I just wanted to mention my 13-year-old son panned this movie the entire time we were watching it without prior knowledge that I was going to be reviewing it.
Wow.
What did he think, Pete? I'm really curious.
He really did not care for it at all. He thought, he actually said to me, Aragorn is a Luke Skywalker ripoff, isn't he? And I said, yes.
I love that boy.
Yes, he is.
You know, your son is brilliant, and, you know...
He is smart. I can't deny that.
And he's seen Lord of the Rings, and he has seen Princess Bride, and...
He's been brought up.
Star Wars, and Beetlejuice, and a bunch of others, yes.
Right, really, yes. Really
all right.
Fabulous.
You did not answer the question yourself?
I'm going to give it 2. But I really didn't care for it.
Okay. That's kind of what 2 means.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm giving it 2 mostly on the weight of Jeremy Irons' performance and the production values.
Yeah. All right. So thanks, guys, for talking for close to an hour now.
Oh, yeah.
Dear listener, if you have enjoyed this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/dragonreel. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dragonreel. You can email us at dragonreelpodcast@gmail.com. And you can go to our website at dragonreel.com. Thank you for joining us for our very first podcast where we discussed Aragorn. Join us again next episode, when we'll be discussing the 1981 Disney film Dragon Slayer with Peter McNichol and Caitlin Clark. Hope to see you then.